Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. And good morning to everybody on the call. So, this morning's class is from the text Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 9, Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home, and Text 18. So, this is the text. Tena smarantya titaram priyam ishamatyang ye chanvada sutta suhid griha vitadara ye tu abja nabha bhava diya padaravinda. Soganya lubha hidaye shukita prasanga. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, who have a lotus navel, if a person happens to associate with a devotee whose heart always hankers after your lotus feet, seeking always their fragrance, he is never attached to the material body or in a bodily relationship to offspring, friends, home, wealth, and wife, which are very, very dear to the materialistic persons. Indeed, he does not care for them. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. A special advantage in devotional service is that devotees not only enjoy the transcendental pastimes of the Lord by hearing and chanting and glorifying them, but also are not very much attached to their bodies, unlike the yogis who are too attached to the body and who think that by performing bodily gymnastic exercises, they will advance in spiritual consciousness. Yogis are generally not very much interested in devotional service. They want to regulate the breathing process. This is simply a bodily concern. Here, Dhruva Maharaj plainly says that a devotee has no more bodily interest. He knows that he is not the body. From the very beginning, therefore, without wasting time in bodily exercises, a devotee searches out a pure devotee and simply by his association becomes more advanced in spiritual consciousness than any yogi. Because the devotee knows that he is not the body, he is never affected by bodily happiness or distress. He is not interested in bodily relationships with wife, children, home, bank balance, etc., or in the distress and happiness which come from these things. This is the special advantage of being a devotee. This status of life is possible only when a person is interested in associating with a pure devotee who always enjoys the fragrance of the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Agyana Timiranyasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sunnibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadi Satarini Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurachise Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himabhya Divacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna Tena smarantya titaram priyam ishamatyam Ichanwada sutta suhis grita vitadara Yetuapcha nabha bhava diya padarvinda Soganda rubha hridayeshu krita pasanga O Lord, who have a lotus navel, if a person happens to associate with a devotee whose heart always hankers after your lotus feet, seeking always their fragrance, he is never attached to the material body or in a bodily relationship to offspring, friends, home, wealth, and wife, which are very, very dear to the two materialistic persons. Indeed, he does not care for them. Hare Krishna. So, this is a text which is part of Dhruva Maharaj's praise, prayers of glorification to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared to him Dhruva Maharaj, in person. And Dhruva Maharaj, even though he wanted a material thing, in fact, in his mind, the highest material thing that one could get in the material world, a planet bigger than even Lord Brahma's, Brahmaloka, he has now been purified first by the mercy of Narada Muni and now by the Supreme Personality of Godhead giving mercy to him by touching his forehead with the conch shell. And now a five-year-old Dhruva Maharaj is speaking eloquently words of praise and glorification to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a most auspicious time for him. And our benefit is from the prayers that come out of him, from his mouth. So he is saying, O Lord, with the lotus navel, if a person happens to associate with the devotee who is always thinking of wanting to greedy for the lotus feet of the Lord, seeking the fragrance from the lotus feet, he is never attached to the material body or in a bodily relationship. Life is such that two categories are there, the spiritual and the material. So when one is attached to the spiritual, then the material is never a consideration for attachment. When one is attached to the material body, then that person we know is most unfortunate, because then the material world and the best use of the material world has been missed. When one is in a human body, especially when the soul is in a human body, although being in a material body in the material world is generally an unfortunate situation, but it is the best situation that in the material world that the person can get, the soul can get. because the body has enough intelligence to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But there's always a choice, though. One may be intelligent enough to stay in a spiritual relationship, even in the material world, through the guidance of a spiritual master. Or they may decide to look around and say, well, here is something for my sense gratification, and enjoy that. Obviously, not understanding that it is to that person's demise to stay with material activities as the all-in-all. So, Guru Maharaj is saying, matter-of-factly and most intelligently, that a person who associates with a devotee of the Lord, who is always thinking about the Lord's lotus feet, then that person is, through the association, not going to be attached to the material body or the things that come with living a material life as the all-in-all, like offspring, friends, home, wealth, and wife. Materialistic persons, that's everything for them. Everything for them. But then a person who associates with the pure devotee of the Lord does not care for these things. That does not mean... sorry. It does not mean that that person who is associating with the pure devotee doesn't necessarily have those things. Of course, sometimes... you know, in the ashrams where the wife is not involved, then wife especially and therefore offspring are out of the question. Brahmachari life, sannyas life, that's out of the question. But then there is grihastha life and later vanaprastha life. Those offspring is involved. Wife is involved. Spouse, let's just speak in there, because women also, you know, they also have the better half, which is the husband. So a spouse is involved. Now, the question is, then what do you do? Well, we have to spiritualize everything around us. Therefore, the spouse should be involved in Krishna consciousness to the best of the ability of this person who is a devotee. Getting the spouse involved is actually quite important. In some, we even argue it's critical. Now, home, yes, we have to stay in a home. But when we spiritualize a home, making the home the temple of the Lord, then that has been dovetailed in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that always is important. As part of our lives, to take the material things that are around us and use our intelligence and the mercy of the Lord and the mercy of a spiritual master to spiritualize those, use those in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. So children also, as much as possible, based on their age, based on their level of intelligence at that age, and based on the surroundings, and even the challenges that material life poses, we as devotees with children have to do our best to get children involved in the Hare Krishna movement. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, a special advantage in devotional service is that devotees not only enjoy transcendental pastimes of the Lord by hearing about them, by chanting and glorifying them, but they are also not very much attached to bodies, material bodies, just like the yogis. In fact, it is said in the Bhagavatam that one should do only what is necessary to maintain the physical body. One must keep the physical body in good shape, but not in good shape to the point of people admiring the body. In other words, putting the body in such a shape that other people see and who are materialistic themselves admire the way our bodies look. Srila Prabhupada, in one of the comments that he was making in his preaching, said that he knows that in the Western countries, and especially at that time he was in America, so he mentioned America in particular, that people are attached to making their bodies, especially the men, making their bodies very strong. And he said they go through so much to try to make the body very strong, as if the body is not going to perish in a matter of time. As if they're not going to die. He was actually, you know, very specific with that. He said that as if they're not going to die. So no matter what you do with the body is going to wither and die. But, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, because we have to serve with this body, serve devotionally, then we have to keep the body in good shape. For that purpose. Health, for that purpose. Health comes first. Then sadhana, because we bowed, and this is the life of a devotee. Then what the spiritual master has asked that we do, the service from the order of the spiritual master. And then lastly, what we ourselves want to do in serving devotees and Guru and Krishna. So that's the order that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave for a devotee's life. Now, Srila Prabhupada is comparing the devotee to a typical yogi. And the yogi is very much attached to the body because they think that when they perform all of these things, bodily gymnastic exercises, as you put it, that they will advance in spiritual consciousness. Well, that is not the case at all, especially in Kali Yuga. It doesn't require any gymnastic exercise to chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Dhruva Maharaj is plainly saying that a devotee has no more bodily interest other than what is needed to just keep the body functional properly. But the devotee knows that he is not the body. So, what he is saying is a devotee should search out and associate with another devotee that hankers, that are always fully seeking the lotus feet of the Lord. And his mind is on that, and his or her activities are also based on seeking the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That person, when we associate with them, we are automatically reminded about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his devotees, guru, pastimes, all of that. Such a person, when you talk to them, they are speaking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, activities, that is pastimes, service, that's where their mind is at. And when you talk to them even about material things that maybe matter, necessary things, they will respond to you in a way that's Krishna conscious. So that all the time, when you're talking to such a person, you are remembering the Lord. Great advantage. Such persons keep us in consciousness of Krishna. So, a devotee, when we associate with that kind of devotee, a pure devotee, then there are qualities that will in fact come from such association. But the qualities are also listed. As in Srimad Bhagavatam, the purport for Canto 2, Chapter 3, and Text 13. So there's another part in Bhagavatam that Srila Prabhupada again mentions this. So here is the qualities, a set of qualities, there are 26 of them, that a pure devotee, as Srila Prabhupada says, the pure devotee of the Lord automatically develops all godly qualities. And some of these prominent features, the qualities are, one, that he's kind, two, that he's peaceful, three, that he's truthful, four, equal to all, five, he's faultless, six, is magnanimous, seven, mild, eight, clean, nine, non-possessive, ten, a well-wisher to all. 11, satisfied. 12, surrendered to Krishna. 13, without hankering. 14, simple. 15, fixed. 16, self-controlled. 17, a balanced eater. 18, sane. 19, mannerly. 20, prideless. 21, grave. 22, sympathetic. 23, friendly. 24, poetic. 25, expert. And 26, silent. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also describes this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Sukadev Goswami also describes it. So, a devotee seems that this is a lot of qualities, but just by serving from our hearts and by hearing and taking the instructions from the hearing and making that part of our lives, these qualities are over time developed, and the qualities that are counter to those dropped over time. So gradually, as Srila Prabhupada likes to put it, gradually the devotee becomes purer and purer and purer. As long as these qualities are known and practiced with determination. So, a devotee is kind. A kind person always, some of these are connected also. A kind person is one who acts and talks and thinks for the welfare of everyone that they meet, every living entity. It doesn't have to be humans only, every living entity. That is a kind person. In short, that's a kind person. A peaceful person. Well, a peaceful person would come from being kind also. A kind person does not seek to make life difficult for others. Therefore, since their mind is in the positive things, then the mind is actually at rest in terms of, you know, its position. It's not agitated, and that person is peaceful. A person that's truthful. This is very, very, very important. A trustworthy person is a truthful person. A person that is truthful will be trustworthy. They go together. So, it is extremely important that one be truthful in Krishna consciousness, because that is also very much connected to one's faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes speaking the truth is getting oneself in a bitter verbal situation. Truth isn't always palatable. Truth isn't always sweet. But truth is factual. And the reason we say that it connects with the faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that sometimes by speaking the truth, people might hate you, people might do things negative towards you, but truth is truth. So one has to speak truth, but speak truth with intelligence. In other words, how the truth comes out might either jab at somebody, or they may be able to take it. So there's some intelligence that comes with speaking truth also. Some people say, well, I just speak the truth no matter what. You know, you take it because it's that's the way it is. But when somebody is also very, very, very compassionate, they have a way of putting truthful statements. Sometimes the Prabhupada would use words that seem to be harsh to some people. He's used words like fools. He's used words like rascals. And one time he was, in fact, questioned about it. And I know His Holiness Radha Maharaj repeated this. The Srila Prabhupada was questioned by other persons who were quite agitated with him using the word rascals so much. Fools and rascals. Well, those that are doing the things against worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Bhakti Yoga in general, Srila Prabhupada calls them rascals. And especially those who are looking to deceive the general public by saying things that are against or anti-Krishna consciousness and packaging that and making it come out as if that is supposed to be the truth. He calls them rascals and he cuts them very heavily to make the point to people that they're not supposed to believe such persons because they are saboteurs to the royal path of devotion. Now, but he was questioned, why are you calling us fools and rascals? Why are you calling some people like that? And Srila Prabhupada, in his great intelligence, said, I don't call you fools and rascals. Krishna says fools and rascals. I'm only repeating what Krishna said. And this is true. Now on the scripture Muda, Papadyante Naradama, that's in Bhagavad Gita. That's Krishna speaking. So, those whose intelligence have been taken away by Maya. So this is there. So Srila Prabhupada says, I'm just repeating it. He's preaching with it, but it's Krishna that said it, and he's just sharing what Krishna has said. But he's still making a strong point that one should not try to convince people about things that are anti-Krishna conscious. That is foolishness. So, the devotee that associates with a pure devotee will develop such qualities also. Fourth one is equal to all. And for us, one word that describes it is fair. Person is fair. Same thing, situation that one person deserves, the other person also deserves it as the circumstances call for. There is no cheating on the person's side, on the person's consciousness. Faultless. That's number five. Faultless. No faults. Person has no faults. A person that takes the word of a Lord and makes it their all in all will be faultless. Number six, magnanimous, which means merciful. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurati Senamaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was most magnanimous. Because that is Radha Krishna come in the personality that gave Krishna Prema, which is very hard to get, freely. Just by those who saw him, even just simply being attracted to his looks, he gave them Krishna Prema. By people who saw him repeating the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra because he was singing and dancing with the mantra, and just coming into that mode and singing with the Lord and singing from their hearts, they became lovers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna Prema is not easy to get. Bhakti Yoga is yoga that is practiced to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, when a person becomes a pure lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's mind and the activities are all connected with bhakti, then the Lord is purchased. And that's why Srila Prabhupada says, bhakti is not so easy. Because the conclusion or what one gains from performing bhakti yoga ultimately is to purchase the Lord. Meaning that the devotee now, from thoughts of what he wants to do or she wants to do to serve the Lord makes arrangement for that to happen. Sometimes even against the Lord's own plan. Like in the battle of Kurukshetra, the Lord said, Krishna said, I'm not going to be involved in this war as a warrior myself. Well, Grandfather Bhishma Dev, in his mind, decided that Krishna should fight. Not because he wants to go against Krishna's plan. He knew that Krishna said he didn't want to fight. He wasn't going to fight. But Grandfather Bhishma was thinking, such a great Maha war like this, it would be wonderful that Krishna show his great fighting ability. Therefore, as a Kshatriya, Bhishma Dev wanted to see Krishna glorified in the war. What better place to have Krishna's ability shown to all those who love him and all those who hate him, the demons, show his power? So why is this opportunity going to be missed by Krishna himself? Yes, he's been kind, he's been merciful, and in many ways, well, we won't even get into that heavily. He's made this decision. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does things at his will. But then Bhishma said, it would be nice for Krishna to show the great Kshatriya abilities that he has. Even a minute bit of it is very, very glorious to watch and admire. So he was a Kshatriya. What did Krishna do? Krishna didn't ignore that, because his pure devotee wanted him to do something even against what he had said that he was going to do in the war. So Bhishma planned to put Arjuna in such great trouble that Krishna would have to do something about it, or Arjuna was going to die. Now, he already knew that Krishna did not want Arjuna to die. In fact, he had said before the war that none of the Pandavas were going to die. So then Bhishma forced Krishna to have to come to the defense of Arjuna by now taking some kind of weapon and then going after him, Bhishma himself. Yet Krishna, in his infinite ability, did in fact fulfill Bhishma's desire to some extent, and at the same time did not fight. So his potency covered Surya, the sun, and the rule was that after the war, after the sun goes down, the war was not to continue. So he did in fact grab a wheel from a chariot and was coming after Bhishma, but at the same time he didn't quite get to him to inflict any harm on Bhishma. So he started but then didn't finish, based on the rules of the fight that when the sun goes down, there is no fight that is to continue. So that's how that ended. A devotee is equal to all, fair. A devotee is faultless. A devotee is magnanimous or merciful, shows mercy. We can show mercy even in our level, those of us way down there, fallen souls, but fortunate enough to come to connect with Bhakti Yoga, we can share it. When we are outside, the mercy can come from devotees, even at our level. And some of you may be pure devotees, not me, but chanting the holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, to the hearing of other entities always benefits them. We are benefited, of course, by chanting the mantra and hearing them, the mantra words ourselves. But those that are outside also that can't chant, especially those ones that are in the non-human bodies, we can give so much mercy to them hearing the holy name. Another thing, showing mercy to the living entities that are not in human bodies. For example, when we offer boga to the Lord after finishing cooking, and after the boga has been offered in Dao Prasadam, the Lord's mercy, we would eat the Mahaprasad, true enough, but the Mahaprasad usually has water with it, and water is food for the plants. So sometimes if we give the water to the plants in our house, inside our house, and sometimes even outside the house, then these living entities also benefit by taking Krishna's mercy in the form of prasadam. Water is food for the plants and trees, and therefore sometimes giving that to them, then we are actually spreading the mercy. And the more that we help other living entities, the more Krishna is pleased with us, and then we can grow. The more we surrender. But then how do we surrender? We surrender by serving other living entities in Krishna consciousness. then Krishna is pleased with us. A devotee, 7, is mild. Well, there was a whole lecture, good part of a lecture concerning mildness. And it was quite an interesting lecture. This was in Baltimore. There are some things that we can do to access mildness, especially in our speech and also in our temperament. When we use mild words in place of words that are jabbing or harsh, we will actually be in a mild consciousness. So what we are humbly requesting is to try to change our speech in terms of the words that we use so that other devotees don't get offended or don't get unhappy because of the way we speak. Srila Prabhupada himself, of course, when he had to, you know, cut the demons, then he used words from Krishna, not even directly words from Krishna, like fool and so on, because Krishna had used it. But among devotees, when Srila Prabhupada is saying, many times he's actually used this to bring across something that is, in fact, negative, and he was warning devotees about it. Now, you don't hear Srila Prabhupada say this, but he says the same thing, but in a different way. When something is actually not good for us, he will say exactly that. This and this and this will not help us. He could come right out and say bad, but he would say this will not help us, especially when it comes to things the devotee should do. When a situation is bad, then he can say the word bad directly. But then when it comes to instructing, he will say, for example, not chanting our rounds or being involved in something in a mode of passion will not help us. He's used that a lot. I know other devotees too who are disciples of Srila Prabhupada. One of them that uses word rather than bad, he uses word concern. If you do this, then there is concern. Those are all mild words. And if you start using those kind of words, then by prayer, Krishna will help us with the intelligence. Srila Prabhupada will help us with the intelligence to begin replacing words that are harsh with words that are mild. And still make the same point. And through that, we can even share among ourselves such kinds of words. You know, if you get just in talking, so that if we're really, really, really wanting to act in such a way that we don't offend people, especially devotees, then mild words are definitely the way to go. And little by little, we in fact will have a mild consciousness. A devotee is clean. A devotee's surroundings should be clean, but a devotee's mind should also be clean. So there's external and internal cleanliness. When a devotee is clean in mind, a devotee is not interested in superfluous things, material things, that he can't do anything about. Know it just to know it. Those are even in the category of gossip. So one should not get so interested in those kind of things, those kind of activities that we just know and know to just know, and it doesn't help us in our lives, not even the material lives, doesn't help us. That's all clutter. That's mental clutter. That has to go. When we go to bed, and this was from Vaisheshika Prabhu, mentioned this next point. Going to bed, our surroundings should also be clean and tidy. So when we wake up in a room that is tidy, it affects our consciousness in a positive way. When we wake up in a room that's got things all over the place, it affects our consciousness, but in a negative way. So mental cleanliness is there, and the greatest way to clean the mind is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hari Hari, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and also hearing about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is enjoyable to the soul, and it is also cleansing to the mind. A devotee is non-possessive. A non-possessive devotee does not mean they don't have anything material, but they're not attached to the material things. That's non-possessive. 10, a well-wisher to all. Srila Prabhupada always ended his letters, "Your ever well-wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada." Well-wisher. Well, a well-wisher, the words speak for themselves. Wishing a person well is always a positive thing to do. And it is also another way of saying love. It's the same thing. A person that loves another person wishes them well. Number 11, satisfied. In other words, they're not attached to material things. They are satisfied with what is there as long as what is in their possession, as long as they're using it to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just what is needed. Now, satisfied does not mean that a devotee should not sometimes go after even money. But the aim should be, there is a project that I want to use this for. We're talking about large sums of money here. A project that I want to use this for, to the satisfaction of Krishna, Guru, and the devotees. That is good reason to go after, work hard, to bring in the funds that are needed for that particular project. Other than that, one should be satisfied with what one has. A devotee should be surrendered to Krishna. Well, Krishna rewards accordingly. Ye atamapapadante tams tateva vajami aham. You surrender to Krishna, Krishna is all in all. Nobody that surrenders to Krishna ever loses. A devotee is without hankering. That's pretty much the same as satisfaction. A person that's satisfied doesn't hanker for anything. A devotee keeps his life simple. Very, very important. The more we complicate our lives with material things, the more clutter is going to come into our lives mentally and physically. And that would go against our devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the devotees. 15, a devotee is fixed. Fixed is focused. But then we focus on Krishna consciousness though, and only what is necessary materially. But fixed in terms of understanding that Krishna consciousness is the important thing to do in life. A devotee controls the self. Controlling self-control means also controlling the senses. Srila Prabhupada says a very simple way to control the senses is to engage the senses in the service of the Lord and his devotees. When we engage the senses are automatically controlled. He's actually talked long at length about this, you know, lectures on self-control. But in a nutshell, that's what self-control comes. You cannot stop using the senses. But if you direct the senses in the service of the Lord, then they are controlled in terms of staying away from superfluous or unnecessary material things, with doing them with the senses. 17, a balanced eater. Don't eat too much or too little. Actually, life is like that. Too much of everything is bad. Too little, then also that's also bad. So, a balanced eater. A devotee is sane. That's 18. Sane. Intelligence means following the words of the Lord and his devotees, the teachings. That brings sanity. A devotee is mannerly, which is devotees brought up well. They understand good manners and they follow that. A devotee is prideless. Prideless. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever that comes, even materially, that seems to be one with some prestige attached to it, the devotee understands it's just by the mercy of the Lord that this is coming in my life. And the next thing is, how do I use it to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead? They don't get all into it, more the passion, and saying, yes, 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 I have this, I have that. That's pride. A devotee is grave. Now, being grave is actually important in one's life. Because when a devotee, and this is actually connected to the devotee being silent, but we'll get to that later, by the mercy of the Parampara. There was one situation, a devotee that was coming around to the temple, and Srila Prabhupada knew that he was coming around, Bhakta, you know, no initiation yet, and after a while, Srila Prabhupada did not see him anymore, and he asked the devotees, where is this guy? He was in the male body. Where is this guy? I forget his name now. I would have said it. And the devotees responded that man, committed suicide. Srila Prabhupada was very grave at that time when he heard that. Grave means outwardly you see that the person is silent, and you can see from the person's facial expression that there is some concern, something weighs heavy on the person's mind. Srila Prabhupada turned this into Krishna consciousness and openly praying to the hearing of the devotees, that dear Lord Sri Krishna, please let this soul come back in the womb of a devotee, be born to a devotee, so that they can, in fact, return. And he was requesting that this happen as soon as possible to get the devotee to come, to get that particular soul to come back and to be in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada described to the devotees that when someone comes and they leave like that, we should consider it a great loss. Even though they made the decision, but somehow we want to connect them with Krishna. Because many people aren't coming to Krishna. Many people are quite unfortunate, the majority of people in the world. So when somebody actually comes around devotees, then we should do everything we can to make them stay and take the process seriously. That if they leave, which they have the right to do, it shouldn't be because of what we did. 22, a devotee is sympathetic. Sympathetic. Feels the emotions for someone that's going through distress. Happiness and distress, yes, they are part of this world. But when a devotee cares and tries to do something about challenges that another one is facing, another person is facing, that person doesn't have to be a devotee. It could be anyone or any other living entity. Sympathy, showing sympathy. A devotee is friendly. Well, that's always wonderful. It also connects with kindness. Being friendly, it's a positive atmosphere around that particular person. And therefore, anybody that comes near that person is picked up. Their energy is made nicer. A devotee is poetic. Actually, this particular text here was talking about Shukadev Goswami being poetic in speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam. So yes, poetry is there. But best poetry is poetry describing Bhakti Yoga in the Supreme Personality of Godhead's pastimes. Other activities of devotees described in a poetic way. That is wonderful. A devotee is expert because a devotee takes whatever they're doing seriously when they know that it is for the Supreme Personality of Godhead's glorification. And by such activity, then they become good at it or expert. A devotee, finally, the last one, is silent. Silent does not mean a devotee does not speak. They do speak, but they speak things that are only relevant. Things that are relevant. They may crack a joke here and there. Of course, being humorous always is, you know, advised to be a good thing. Humor makes people laugh and so on. But even that the choice of words are important. We don't use more of passion and more of ignorance words like some comedians do just to make people laugh. It makes people laugh all right, but then it also makes it pollutes the mind at the same time. So one speaks about the Supreme Personality of Godhead very enthusiastically. Otherwise, one remains silent. And if prajapa is going on, they don't join into that. Gossip, criticizing, those kind of things, they are not a part of it. They stay silent in that situation. So these are the 26 prominent features of a devotee. And Dhruva Maharaj is saying, when a person associates with a devotee who is always hankering after the lotus feet of the Lord, then they won't be attached to the material body. They won't be attached in a bodily relationship, not to offsprings, not to home, not to wealth, not to a spouse. Even though materialistic person thinks that's the all in all in life, that person doesn't care for them. And a pure devotee who always thinks about and never forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead has these qualities, and a person that associates with them will also develop these qualities over a period of time. Hare Krishna. So then we'll stop here. Thank you for tolerating me. Hare Krishna. So hopefully we can now unmute our phones and ask questions as you deem necessary. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
My name is Pranam.
Jai.
Thank you so much for the wonderful class.
Krishna's mercy.
Yesterday we were discussing why it is important to have association of devotees.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday's class was kind of felt incomplete because today you so nicely mentioned about the qualities of devotees.
Krishna's
so
mercy.
Not want to associate, because there's such wonderful qualities which I'll say for myself, I'm lacking in so many of them.
We and all have growing to do.
Feeling so guilty that, oh, this I don't have. I have to work on this one. So I think that's why association is important. So
yes.
If we associate, then that association will rub on us and we'll be able to
develop those, yeah.
Purify.
Yes.
And I remember from this point, there was this devotee, this Prabhuji,
mm-hmm.
who would cook, maybe I've repeated this, cook in the temple.
Mm.
And I had such an impact in my mind about him. We used to have like now morning program, but now it used to be like evening program.
Mm.
And he would cook like nicely. He's from India, Bengali devotee.
Yeah.
And he was a cook in the temple. So he would cook and take all these food, prasadam outside.
Mm.
So everything would finish, and then nothing was left for him. He didn't even make a plate. And then after cooking, he would go out and start serving. So what happened is when, we used to have like our home programs, like mm-hmm. family and friends gathering.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I would make some sweet something and, in the end, nothing was left.
Mm.
And so one of my friends, she said, well, I remember there's a lot of change in you because, you used to always make sure you keep your portion. So I said, when you meet but wonderful devotees, who are so selfless, who only want to serve the Vaishnavas,
mm.
then that has an impact on you.
Yes.
So much.
Yeah.
So, my friend made me notice that, and I was never like that, because mm-hmm. I was seeing it in the temple, and then I was so happy with those qualities, selflessly, and then the end, nothing was made, he would just cook little potato
mm.
for himself, he made sure everybody else got, he wouldn't even make a plate for himself,
mm.
Sometimes we see people who are serving can make a plate, separate, so that they don't feel that it should finish, But he would never do that. Never ever he would make a plate. He would just, if everything finished, he was happy about it.
Mm.
So such a selfless service. So I just wanted to mention this point came to me. Maybe this could be added as one of the points in the 26 qualities you mentioned. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the wonderful class. I don't really have a specific question. And,
yeah.
So nicely we've been studying about Dhruva Maharaj. It's always a pleasure to hear about Dhruva Maharaj. Then Prahlad Maharaj,
Yes.
So it's a very, very important portion we are reading. And and what a transformation in the small little boy. It's amazing to read from the books. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you also for sharing this, because you see, this is very much related to the way to this particular text, because the text talks about associating with the devotee hankering for the lotus feet of a Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through this particular devotee's service, the one that you just described here, very selfless, cooking, coming out to serve. Actually, Srila Prabhupada did that also at Matchless Gift, 26 Second Avenue, when the devotees did not, those who were coming, you know, did not understand. He also cooked for them. They didn't understand Krishna consciousness much. He was teaching for the first time. They were hearing for the first time in this lifetime. He was cooking and serving. Sometimes he would cook and then join the line when other people were serving. So, again, such selflessness. A person like that, as you say, you're fortunate to know a devotee who's like this. So then you keep the association, because they have all good qualities, and those qualities will rub off, you know, on you. And since you talked about that, it rubs off on us also, because you've described who this person is like. Hare Krishna, which is wonderful. Okay, any other questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Jai. Lord Shri Prabhupada.
Very good to be with the association of the devotees, so that we can have at least when we are near a flower, we can smell that. That's how with the devotee also we get some features of the devotees and we get attracted.
Yes.
When she mentioned mainly about the transformation, how Dhruva transformed from that age. Is that transformation because of the teachings of Narada or because of his own fortune of getting that devotion and meditation for God, or because of the Lord keeping his conscience on his forehead?
Well, it's the how things unfolded was very fortunate for Dhruva, right from the beginning.
Yeah, but it's, basically he didn't come for the meditation or to get the supreme position.
No.
He's just looking for some things
material things. Yeah.
But later, after the meeting.
That is not based on general astral experience, or that is not based on evidence. He does it. No. Preconceived opinion that is not based.
Hare Krishna?
Yeah, which part is more important in that? That's what I'm asking. Because to get a guru in the first place, that is more important. And to depend on what the guru says and practicing on his own is also important.
Yes.
And even when he got the darshan of Lord Vishnu, he couldn't do the prayers because he was wondering what to talk and how to praise him.
Yeah.
Then God put his conchal on his forehead.
Then he started.
Got realization, all the transcendental situation. Then he could open his mouth and do all these wonderful prayers.
Yeah. Okay. So we can say purification, that was done by Lord Vishnu. No question. Purification, that was done by Lord Vishnu. Because before all of that, he still was thinking he wanted a planet that was bigger than Lord Brahma's. That's true. But as far as teaching and guiding him into devotional service, that a series of events unfolded. You can start with Suniti. Now, I don't mention Suruchi, even because Suruchi was talking about, you have to be born in my womb again before you can even sit on your father's side. That's all, you know, negative stuff. Negative stuff. But when the mother said, yes, Supreme Personality of Godhead can be accessed. So that was the first time Dhruva is thinking still materially now. We have given, that's granted. But that's the first time that his mind was focused on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and wanting to find Supreme Personality of Godhead. See, his mother had not confirmed that. Had not confirmed that. Because Suruchi used Supreme Personality of Godhead in a negative way. He was just jabbing at Dhruva. But when the mother said, yes, Supreme Personality of Godhead can give you a certain boon, then he said, oh, well, where is he? That's the first time we say, where is, he asked his mother, not Suriti, he asked Suniti, his mother, where is, you know, then the mother said, well, yogis, they go to, saints go to the forest, that's where they find him. So then he started with that. Still he is thinking materially, but the help to meet Lord Vishnu started with the comment of his mother, Suniti, directing him to the forest. So from Guduva himself was still thinking materially, but the process had slowly started. And then Narada Muni gets into it, and you know where his mind is at. Narada Muni will get you to be taking Krishna consciousness seriously, even if the person that he's talking to does not understand it at first. He did that to Migrahi the Hunter. He did that to, you know, Valmiki. He did all that. They all started off not really understanding anything in Krishna consciousness yet. But in the end, then they benefited. So Suniti gave help, a little help, if you categorize it that way, but it was a very important help. He wound up in the forest. Duva wound up in the forest. Narada Muni gave even greater help because Narada Muni gave him the method by which he could, in fact, contact the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead purified him. And then he said, now I don't want any, you know, planet like that. I was going for cut glass, and here is real diamonds. So they all kind of contributed to it, although the actual purification finally came from Lord Vishnu himself. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. That means it is the intention shows the way.
Oh, absolutely.
What we have in our mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's in the scriptures that some people come, you know, four kinds of people come. To the distressed, they don't come distressed. They want the distress to be relieved. Mm? Inquisitive, they just want to satisfy their minds. Mm? The penniless people, they just want, you know, money situation, wealth, because they're suffering in that sense. They're thinking they're suffering in that sense. And then the people who seek knowledge, well, they are the better ones, because knowledge, if you come to Krishna consciousness seeking knowledge rather than material knowledge, you're far more fortunate than a person that's just seeking material knowledge. But then all of these guys, people who come, people that way, they're not coming because of Krishna consciousness itself, but they benefit from it, though, because they're coming that way. Because they've come into, even though their intention is material, they've come into a spiritual atmosphere, and therefore they get purified. Krishna himself explains it, yeah. So, Dhruva had material intentions, and he was upset, and he wanted revenge, but in the end, he got the best thing that you could ever get, Krishna himself. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jai. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Any other questions, please?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
The purport of this verse that you read, it says about different attachments we should not have.
Mm.
So sometimes what happens that, you know, attachment can be for one particular thing,
mm-hmm.
while we are pursuing our devotional service. So let's say we are maybe not attached to wealth, but we are attached to offspring, or, you know, the other way around.
Mm.
Depending on how our desires are.
Yes.
And so when we read this, it seems that you know, I don't think this is going to, you know, change me at all, although it should. I should not have attached material attachments and, you know, different, there's so much mentioned here about attached to material body, body relationship, offspring, friends, home, wealth,
yes.
wife. So we are surrounded by all this, and at the same time, if we don't have attachment, then how can we function in dealing with them?
Hmm. Very important question.
Like I say, I don't have to attach to my children, but I know with attachment only I can do service. I'm attached to Krishna, so I chant his name.
Hmm.
I'm attached to prasadam, so you know, like I like to cook, offer. So if how can we, when we read this, it becomes very hard to similarly, if especially if we have a weakness that we have to have some kind of attachment. You know, I'm attached to my mom, so she's in her 70s, so once a day I have to give her a call. I talk to her, everything is okay, you know. She was like not recently not too well, so the attachment is not there, but here the purport is saying that we should not have attachment.
Yeah.
So I don't know, it doesn't seem in this life I sometimes think that if I was in a situation where I'm not married and all by myself, then I could, pursue this.
Mm.
But in a situation I am, it's very difficult to understand.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Explain a little bit how we can, while being in the Grihastha family, not be attached, especially when you're attached to one thing more than the other.
Mm. Well, there's a couple of words that come in. Attachment, there's a very fine line between attachment and responsibility. Very fine line between attachment and responsibility. Sometimes, well, I shouldn't say sometimes, most of the time, the person that uses his time or her time well has responsibilities. And we have our hearts too. Responsibilities are things that we have to do. Well, things we have to do with what? With whatever material thing that is there that we have to use for our work. Sometimes there is, you have a child. Well, the child is not going to be just staying hungry. It's a responsibility to make sure the child is well cared for. So, and then there's the other part, the emotional part, our love. Making sure that the child, so we're talking about upstream here, the child is well cared for materially. That's also being a well-wisher, which is a quality of a devotee. A well-wisher. There for the child, supplying things, advising, and so on. That's all part of well-wishes, which is love. Now, it is good to do that, but it is more important to purify the attachment. If you want to use the word attachment, purify our responsibilities by making sure that there is a Krishna angle to everything that we do. In other words, people are saying dovetail, and the word here is dovetail things in Krishna's service. So then we should pray and use our intelligence to be guided, to be guided to make whatever we do, or whoever we associate with, or whatever that we are, as you've used the word, attached to, be spiritualized. In other words, used for Krishna's service to Krishna, service to Guru, service to devotees. When that is done, then whatever that is even called attachment is not going to go against us, because now the Krishna factor is in there. We are in the material world after all, and we have emotions. And yes, things will come, this, that, and this, that, and this, and that, and this, and that. But when we chant the holy names of the Lord, which in fact purifies our consciousness, and we use what we have, material things, at least fully or partly in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we get His mercy, and therefore, as he says, as we surrender more to him, that is, use things in his service, then he rewards accordingly. Then we don't have to worry about, our minds being taken into a material thing and therefore affecting, the next body and, based on our material thinking. So that will not happen. So yes, the emotions are there, the attachments are there, but you don't worry about them. You talked about your mom. You have to call your mom because of her age, and obviously she loves you and you love her, and which is all correct, it's all true. This is what you have to do, literally love your mom. But when you talk to her, then you can indirectly or directly sometimes, as she would be able to, take it emotionally, connect Krishna to the conversation. So then the conversation becomes one where you yourself benefit by remembering Krishna, because you're going to talk about Krishna. And she also benefits from hearing about Krishna, even if it's done indirectly. Because so many things are there in the Bhagavad Gita and how, we should live our lives in Krishna consciousness. So sometimes things can be even said for the person to do or think about without mentioning the name of Krishna directly, and still it's beneficial. Even Krishna's devotees sometimes. Some conversation you're having and somehow it connects to the pastimes of Dhruva, pastimes of Prahlad. Then you tell the story about that to your mom. So, and you say it in a very simple way. And, because they all ended so wonderfully. If they all ended so wonderfully, Dhruva returned home and, he got a whole kingdom. And more than what, you know, materially he got to, you know, be in the kingdom here, the earth, but then he also got a spiritual planet on top of that. Way more just by connecting with God that way. Hmm? He took a very big risk, but listen, the Lord protected him. So how kind the Lord is in the forest with wild animals that he never got harmed. And then he focused his mind on thinking about the Lord, especially, you know, when we get this old and there's not much to do materially now in this world, and the body won't let us do much anyway. So now all we need to concentrate on is our soul, which means food for the soul means connect with God. Literally, a little like that, you know, in a conversational way, but you're actually preaching at the same time. And they'll benefit from it, especially since she loves you. And people who love another person, they tend to listen to what that person is saying. So you make it in a conversational way, and you know, she benefits from it. And that's wonderful. Hare Krishna. So hopefully this was a little help.
Prabhuji, and Prabhuji, one more thing. In today's Kali Yuga, just a very practical question. Like, you know, what happens is that people are still connected to their parents. But, you know, the married brother sisters, they have a lot of, I see in a lot of families, even my own family, I've seen not like literal fight, but, you know, that bonding of love is not there between sisters, brothers, or brother-sister families. And especially, you know, I was feeling bad, like, in the sense that, you know, even in my family, like, you know, suppose we give good news to someone about something, you know, like, I mean, sometimes, you know, this is a good news that we got our green card or something like that.
Yeah.
So what happens, people are not happy to hear the good news.
Why?
They feel envious.
Oh, okay.
Talking to you. So it is strange when you see these things, and you know, when they go through good news, we feel very happy and we congratulate them, and you know, we feel so happy and we try to show our happiness. But in the world, it is so much opposite, and somehow you feel that the just like Srila Prabhupada, he mentions that, you know, the purest word is saying Mataji to everyone. So, you know, that is a relationship which that is somehow, you know, I was just comparing it to how, you know, the four legs, Parikshit Maharaj story, with my small intelligence, only truthfulness is prevalent now.
Yeah.
Just everything is, you know, all the regulations are broken. Similarly, like even now in a situation like this, how do we console our family members, our spouses, when situations are like that, when brothers, sisters are acting in a certain particular way? I wouldn't say for parents, but, you know, like everybody wants to also connect with the family. And so when their nature is such that they are so, so envious and not happy with your happiness, then how can we even preach to them or go close to them? Also, one mental block comes to me is, like, I feel like Prahlad Maharaj was so, when he was preaching, you know, he was 5-year-old boy preaching to everyone, and you know, even his father, he was preaching. So, but because he had heard from, like, in the mother's womb, you know,
preaching.
Like, but we are not in that position at all, you know. We are not even able to, you know, remove these things as so much of enviousness among brothers, sisters, and, you know, this talk. So how do we, it's very distressing, and, you know, ultimately you're left with yourself and your parents, that's it, you know.
Yeah.
How many brothers, sisters you have, there's always some misunderstanding, there's always some enviousness, or, so I was just speaking for myself, like, I see my situation, and I know other families, there are a lot of families which are blessed, that even the parents are not alive, but still, you know, the brothers, sisters are very mutually staying with each other. There are, you know, families like that also I hear, and I feel that is nice. So again, this question is coming from the attachment point of view. So we don't want to be attached, but what happens is when we see this situation, it creates like very sourness inside us. And if everything is okay, then we can still think of getting attached. Okay, everything is going okay between brothers, sisters and all. So that kind of, just wanted to highlight some points on this situation, which really personally I was also facing. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. So, unfortunately, envy is an age-old problem. That is always, you know, going on in the material world. Envy is trouble. Envy creates trouble. And, well, what to speak of the fact that we came to the material world from envy in the Supreme Personality of Godhead when we're in the spiritual world. So, there is some, for lack of a better word, discrimination that we have to resort to in this, in situations like this. Very, for, in your family member situation, it very much depends on who is ready to trust what you say. That is how far you can go in talking with family members. So you know that better. But you've mentioned, we'll still take the way you mentioned it, that even somebody getting a green card, which is good news, someone else hears about it, they don't have a green card yet, or, you know, this, we're hoping that you wouldn't get it, thinking demonic, that that other person wouldn't get a green card maybe so soon or so easily, because sometimes people go through changes to get it, and they become envious rather than happy for them. And so other situations can happen also where somebody requires, somebody gets something really, really, really nice materially, and another person say, oh, it's so nice, but then they're envious. Or some quality is there that they don't have, and they get envious. So, what do you do? Well, it really depends on the situation. If you can help that person by suggesting things that they can do. See, when it comes to envy because of something that someone else doesn't have, my mother gave me this advice. Don't sweat it because someone else has it. That energy can be used in getting that thing yourself. So if it was a green card that somebody got envious about it, and maybe that person does not have a green card, and they're envious of the person that did get a green card, then you can break the break into the conversation by just saying, so where are you at now in your, you know, struggle or whatever to try to get this green card? What's the situation now? Now, if they are willing to tell you he's here or there or there or there in the stage of trying to get it, then you can suggest something. You can suggest another step, you know, that you've heard that, or you know someone else that's more expert in helping to get it, or someone else that got it more easily and how they went about it, you know, or an attorney that's not so expensive, you know, in using that person to get. In other words, you just suggest something more positive to move that person forward if they also need a green card or what the other person, you know, has. Therefore, then you turn that energy around, that energy of dislike for the other person's fortune, which is envy, the fortunate situation, turn it around to something that they can, in fact, focus on themselves. Because people like to think about themselves and how they can make it. And envy comes when somebody has made it to the point where someone else wishes they were at, but they're not at that point. And then they just, that negative energy comes. So once you use your intelligence and prayer to your spiritual master to help you to come up with words that can encourage that person along those lines of acquiring that thing themselves, then the envy goes down. Now, if the person is such that you can't say anything to them, even if you start talking, they will turn against you. They will direct their anger against you. That also is there. That's the extreme case. In that case, you can't get anywhere with them. You cannot get anywhere with them. But you can say a silent prayer to them. But I remember His Holiness. Oh, I forget his name. I can remember his face. He mentioned that one can, in fact, one, a devotee, can pray to Guru and Krishna for the family members to actually be Krishna conscious at some point. I'm still trying to remember this Sannyasi's name that made the lecture that he gave. So even that's there. And I hadn't heard of it before, but it was wonderful that when he said that. So that is, if all else fails, you can say a silent prayer for this person that's envious, for Krishna to help detach him from the envy and actually take to Krishna consciousness at some point. Of course, the direct thing is to give them prasadam, okay, which will help. But definitely, it says prayer is also Very, very, very powerful. It's one of the nine processes anyway of services, prayer. You can pray for them. This is the situation where they won't listen to you at all, and you know that even if you brought it up, they would direct their anger, envy of the person, but the anger towards you for even trying to say anything about it. The desperate situation where at that point you don't speak at all. You just say a prayer for them to change their minds. It's not an easy thing at all for the family members, and I've gone through stuff with some of my own family members. One trying to stop me from becoming Krishna conscious, you know, that's not going to happen. He can't stop me by my guru's mercy. So again, it's my own system. We had to go through back and forth, back and forth, back and forth about it. And in the end, I just left her alone. So yeah, those things will happen in the material world. If they will hear you, then definitely suggest a way in which they can direct that negative energy towards something positive for themselves. By taking up a plan, going through a plan, helping them with a plan to maintain or to get whatever it is that they're envious of. So other than that, you say a prayer for them. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And in this case, like you giving the answer, they do have the citizenship and green card. But, you know, somehow they don't like, you know, the saying is like... we already have, so how come you have come at that level, you know, because how it is in America.
Oh, okay, that type of envy.
you're forced to think that why they're not happy in our happiness, you know, that kind of a thing.
So, okay, I'm glad you explained it.
We can only pray because they are a victim of envy. Completely,
yes.
Right?
Yes, yes. They are. They are.
Actually,
and that's...
Boys were left alone. So, you know, like this one person was somehow managed to make a hut, somehow managed to have a wife, and then, you know, he created some fire, and then, some boat came for the fire in the island.
Oh, yes.
He was ready to step into the boat and go back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, what happened is that someone in the, so he heard a voice, you know, that, see, you are going in the boat. Everything you're doing, what about the other person? And the other person was just wandering around, he didn't, he was like homeless, so this person, he heard a voice of someone told him on the boat, so this person who was like, he made a heart, he had a wife, and now someone came to rescue him. So he says, do you know that the other person was constantly only praying for you? He didn't care about himself at all. Whether he had a heart, whether he had a wife or anything. And now you're just, because Krishna's in everyone's heart. So then that person realized that, sometimes we feel that, we have achieved this and even sometimes we also feel other person is envious of us. But sometimes internally we don't know, the other person might be actually, praying because of the other person's prayers, we are progressing. And we don't realize that. So I think in a situation like this where I'm asking question, I'm thinking that, you know, one doesn't have to think negative about anyone because I'm just trying to answer myself through your answer and through this small video clip I saw.
Yeah.
Because you never know inside, just like they say that never offend anyone because even in the family, if they're not practicing because they might become, you know, like devotees.
Yeah.
They might be chanting Lord's name in the future. So if you go to take them like a non-devotee and behave differently, then, there'll be offenses in the lifetime. I mean, that you behave like this and now the person has become a devotee. So we never know who's thinking good about us. But Krishna, of course, knows what we are thinking. He's in everyone's heart.
Yes.
So, like I was saying, that person was reminded and then he contacted him and said, I never knew that you're praying for us. You're praying for me and I was getting everything possible. It's very nice to hear these small, video clips, like 3-4 minutes, and they're not very long, so you remember them, and give so much a positive energy to oneself.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much. I remember this.
Yeah, thank you.
For everyone, doesn't matter irrespective of what goes on in families, and, pray for everyone's well-wish.
Yeah.
Then only Krishna will be happy and the Guru Maharaj will be happy with us.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. So now you've done some wonderful, wonderful preaching, actually, to get, you know, bring this example up that sometimes other people wish as well and we don't even know. You know, so this is, it does happen. Now, there's the other side too, that which is quite negative, that you're talking about, that, you know, they have their green card, but somebody else gets a green card. In other words, they don't want anyone to come up to the status that they think they have. This is why it's even more important in this text that the person that hankers for the lotus feet of the Lord is not attached to these material things. So even if they acquire it, they will use it in the service of the Lord, and when somebody else is getting envious of that, the Lord will protect them from any fallout from that type of envy. At the same time, as the qualities of a devotee, the 26 qualities, the first one is kindness. You should still remain kind to this person that is envying. Remain kind anyway. Remain kind because it helps our own consciousness. The consciousness becomes more peaceful when we're kind to that person. And many, many, many pure devotees of the Lord have shown that. Haridas Thakur was being beaten in the marketplace, but he was kind, so kind, he prayed for protection from the fallout that Krishna would have dumped on those people that were beating him. He prayed for that not to happen to them. Jesus also same thing. When he was being beaten and on his way to being crucified, he still said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." It's like that. So yeah, we can always pray for the welfare even of the person that envies us. But more importantly, not just welfare, that at some point that Krishna will give them the mercy to become Krishna conscious. Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. And also one more point comes to
yes.
my mind.
Okay.
It's just like not really a question.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when we have a certain desire and we're really desiring for this thing, this should happen, or my daughter should take this degree, or she should be doing this. Those desires come. Then what happens that if the desire is not getting fulfilled or whatever. But at a certain point ahead in future, the desire gets fulfilled. But that time we don't have the desire. We don't have that, we feel, okay, yeah, I was thinking about this earlier, I was really bothered about this, this should come in my life, but now it's come, so it's no big deal. So we become so thankless from our heart, you know, like, and of course Krishna is monitoring every thought of ours, what we are thinking, what we are doing. But when we intently want something, that time, you know, we are like hankering and praying. But then in future, if that thing is given to us, we just take it like casually, okay, you know, like, so I feel these desires are so dangerous that come in our mind, because they're constantly, you know, like, I mean, kind of exploiting the mind to say they are always, you know, like putting us on the wrong path, where we are constantly in this material realm thinking, you know, now this I want, that I want, this I want, and that time when we don't want, we're praying. And when it gets fulfilled, we are like, okay, that's fine if it got fulfilled, no big deal. You know, go to the next thought, the next desire. So it's kind of, how do we get over this situation where we stop desiring?
Well,
and I know we can't be desireless, because Srila Prabhupada mentioned somewhere we cannot be desireless. So just some thoughts you share, Prabhuji, on this.
Well,
I cannot really formulate a question, but just some.
But it is a question, all right. It's a question, all right. It's, you know, the way you put it, but there is definitely a question built into that.
I don't know, others feel this way about desires getting fulfilled, and we don't have that gratitude. But then they are not fulfilled, we are like, you know, hankering and praying, Krishna, do this, that. So not even bother whether it's good for us or not. But because as we were reading before in Srimad Bhagavatam, even material desires, we have to ask Krishna only, you know?
Yeah, but he owns material and spiritual, He owns material and spiritual, so yes. A devotee understands that. Now, the point, there's several angles to this. After hankering for something and you get it and you mention it, then it's like it's no big deal anymore. That's one, or they're very, very, very happy that they got it. And even if somebody tries to get the same thing, they're envious, which is the one you talked about earlier. No, that's also there. The thing is, for a devotee, you can desire. In matter of fact, you must desire. It's part of us. But along with the desire should be, how am I going to use this to serve devotees with it? If there is no way at all, can't find an answer to that particular question, that is not something you should be desiring. That's a waste of time. Then you desire materially 100%. There should be a connection or an angle to it connecting with service to devotees, service to Guru or service to Krishna. There should be that angle. And when that angle is there, and you know you can, in fact, you know, make the effort to use it in service to the Lord, then that is a good thing to desire, whatever it is. That is including money. It's a good thing to desire. Because you have something in mind which is connected with Bhakti Yoga for devotees. Then that's good. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. So that should be the rule of thumb for devotees. If we're going to desire something, sure. It has to be used in service of the Lord. If you desire for your child to pursue a particular, you're talking about it, because we're doing that. I have teenage children too. One is actually going to be 21. You know, they're in college now, so the discussion is went on earlier, and the other one in high school, the discussion is going on, what they're going to do, what they want to do. But make sure that you chant your rounds, make sure that you go to the temple, make sure that you're assisting this way and that way, that way. That we have to make sure as parents that is going on. And from that, of course, we know that if we're trying to get the person to finish school with good transcript, then it is actually to deal with the material part of life, but they can also, in that position, be able to assist devotees better. So that's also there. So this is, that is the aim of a devotee, but not the type that's a materialist that just wants somebody to be able to enjoy sense gratification with all the money they're going to make for the hard work that they did earlier when they were younger. No, for devotees, we'll be able to have a good material balance. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, my Guru Maharaj, sometimes says, you should get your material things that you need and necessities there so that it doesn't bother you in your Krishna consciousness. Make yourself settled well materially so that your Krishna consciousness is approached by us, they're telling us, without having to worry about too many material things. So yeah, in that sense, it is good to have the things that are. I'll say another thing about Srila Prabhupada. Says poverty and Krishna consciousness go ill together. So we shouldn't get to a point where poverty is actually bothering us so much that we're not doing our Krishna conscious activities well enough. Or even our chanting is distracted by our poverty and our thinking about how to this and how to that and all of that. So yeah, that's distracting even in Krishna consciousness. So in that sense, yes, we're in a material world. You should get ourselves to that situation where our Krishna consciousness is not impeded or interfered by lack of material things. So it's important to have that because we have to have in our life now a balance of material and spiritual. When we go back in the spiritual world, then it's all spiritual. Everything is provided anyway. So there's no worries there. But here, sure, there has to be that balance. So it is necessary. But the understanding is so material energy does not interfere in our Krishna consciousness. We have to make sure that part is dealt with and dealt with properly. So that's also our responsibility. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Just like a chain of questions from the past few days were there in my mind, and I was able to unwrap them today.
Yeah, wonderful.
It's good to clear one's mind. And so thank you so much for taking your time to answer. I'm sure the others on the call who have some comment or question, but otherwise we can end the call. So.
Okay.
It's almost quite 9 o'clock.
Yeah, it is. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So is there any other last questions? The devotees want to please bring it up if you have question.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Jai. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Very nice class, Prabhu.
Krishna's mercy. Guru's mercy.
Very nice, and all the points that you have, so in organized way you explained everything. I was always thinking, I had one question, but it has been already answered by you.
By the Lord's mercy. By the Lord's mercy through me. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I just wanted to say thanks to you and everyone that comes on the call. It really helps with understanding things around us and connecting it with Krishna consciousness. So it is these calls and all these questions, they are very, very helpful, and I'm so thankful to all of you.
Yeah.
Like, I always wondered, I could not, like, I have been struggling to concentrate in chanting, and because of all the problems around us, like this material things, problems with our family and with our kids and with all these things. But these questions just help me untangle all those issues to some extent. So I'm so grateful. Just wanted to say thanks to everyone.
Thank you for ever making the comment. It's a wonderful comment. It's Krishna's mercy that all of this has happened. See, Krishna shows mercy in so many ways to help us. We have said yes to Krishna, and therefore Krishna now uses all of us. I don't ever consider myself preaching. I just pray to my Guru Maharaj and to Srila Prabhupada. So you preach through me. My voice is being used, but the ideas are all coming from through the Parampara, my Bhakti Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, and the rest of the Parampara and other preachers who I hear, you know, constantly. Yes, this is a very, very great service. I always, you have said things that I've been thinking of all the time. So thankful that this particular program is there. And, you know, every time when it's my turn to get, I don't come on every day, but the times that I do come on, especially when I have to do the service of preaching, just turning the phone on and immediately you connect to Telugu, here comes Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. I put it on speakerphone, so everybody in my house getting ready to go to work, they all hear it before they even leave. This is also beneficial, you know, and the telephone is sitting there and Hare Krishna is coming through the speaker. Every living entity around is hearing it. And I'm just getting ready, but even that's happening already. And this is the program. This particular program makes that possible. So yes, it's great benefit. And Krishna has already said, you know, those who let others know about Krishna consciousness, they're very dear to me. The entire staff doing this teleconference, they're all dear to Krishna. So much benefit is there. Hare Krishna. Jai. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. But you know, he's ultimately the one that's made all of this possible. Hare Krishna. Okay, so any other questions or comments? If not, then we can end. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripa sundibhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai. All glory to the devotees, all glory to the Prabhupada.